Tell me, let's start off with some. Start off with when you were born, and what you can remember about
when I was born.
Yeah.
Huh. Born in Greenville, Mississippi. And of course, my grandfather lived in. That's where they lived in Benoit, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we had a lot of people who lived in. Have you ever heard of a place like Mound Bio? You ever heard of Mound Bio?
Mm-hmm. Only from you.
Well, that's a whole. That's just owned by that's a whole black town.
Mm-hmm.
They belong. But we have a lot of. We had a lot of relatives. We only have one, just one in-law there now, because the last one died. My mother's first cousin died there last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just one in-law there now. But then I came to, then we came to Benoit, back to Benoit. And my father and my mother went to Little Rock because my father could not stand who was Walter Minnis. He could not stand working on the plantation.
Mm-hmm.
So he took his family and went to Little Rock, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And
about when was this, you know?
That must have been in about 19 and, let me see, I was born in 1904.
Mm-hmm.
And that must have had been about 1909.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any recollections of that time and, you know, the trip,
how we get there?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. You know, they weren't. You had to go by boat.
By boat.
Yes, there were no. You had to cross the river.
You had to cross the river. Sure.
Yeah. You had to be. Well, there was. You had to go. Well, and what they. We went down to the river to get in a hat.
Hang on. Yes, Nene.
What time is it?
It's 10 minutes to five. Go ahead.
Then we got, I shall never forget that, going across that river on that boat. I don't know how long it took us to get across Nashville, but I know we got across. And people had boarding houses then.
Mm-hmm.
And my father met us there. But he was going to get there, but he wasn't there. That we spent the night there. He came the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you just couldn't get the bus, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You had to get a wagon, and it all depends on how the roads were.
Mm-hmm.
And then they.
What kind of boat was it?
Huh?
What kind of boat was it? A steamboat, or
it was a steamboat,
like the regular Mississippi River boat. That you see,
like
with the big paddles on the
like a Mississippi River boat, you know, with the black, you blow the whistle.
Yeah,
know,
yeah,
that kind of yeah. That it was a steamboat,
mm-hmm.
And you that's the kind it was.
Mm-hmm. What season was it? Was it cold or?
Yes, it was. It was in the. It evidently had to be in the early before Christmas. It must have been in. Had to be in September, October, because
uh-huh.
It was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. Wasn't downright cold.
Yeah, it was coolish.
It was
yeah.
Coolish. It wasn't summer.
Mm-hmm.
But it had to be in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so we stayed there, and then my father came. And
wait a minute! I thought he was with you on the boat.
No, he was all. He had gone before.
I see.
To get a job.
Yes. Yes.
He had gone before to get a job and get a place because he left there and he went. because he was determined he wasn't going to stay on the plantation.
Uh-huh. How long after he left did you come? You know, what was the interval between the two?
Oh, Larry, at age, I'm
just curious.
It might have been, maybe we'll say a couple of months, or a month, I suppose. Uh-huh. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Being at that age, you know how.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But anyway, it was long enough for him to have gotten this job at a sawmill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And gotten a house and gotten some furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And I should never forget, it was a big five-room house. And we didn't have furniture to put in all those rooms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he had gotten that. And so when we got off, we stayed at this lady's, at this rooming house. And she, I don't know, she always... As a general rule, people always used to think I was sort of a smart little girl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she liked me, so she had to go around to these rooms and in this house, lighten the lamps, you know, mm-hmm. these kerosene lamps, lighten the lamps in the rooms, and I guess checking the fires and whatever you in, mm-hmm. in the stove, you know, because you didn't have central heat, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me this bag I shall never forget. Of peanut brittle candy. And honey, that was more candy than I had ever had.
In your whole life?
Yes, because we didn't, and which I guess it turned out to be a good thing, because mm-hmm. here at this age I still have some of my own teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
It was a blessing in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I went around with her. Then we came on back to our room where Mama and my brother and sisters were, and we stayed and went to bed. Then my next day, I can remember my father came.
Mm-hmm. How many of you were there? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was Samuel.
You remember his age? Or just roughly?
He must have been about. But he was next to me. He was 2 years younger than I was.
Uh-huh.
And then my sister, and then my
is she older or
she's young? I'm the oldest one.
Oh, you're the oldest. I didn't uh-huh. know that. Uh-huh.
And then
I guess, and she's below Samuel.
Yeah.
And her name is
Leoska.
And you call her sister.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Leoska. And now that girl that was here today, Samuel, that's his granddaughter.
I see.
Doris.
Yes.
That's
yes.
my brother's granddaughter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's...
Doris, Menace.
No, I'm talking about there's you, Samuel, sister.
And Mama was, after, now that I know, Mama was pregnant, you see.
Uh-huh.
And Walter was born after Papa died. And his name was Walter Menace. So that's what my father was named, Walter Menace.
And so she named this child Walter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that means your father must have died shortly after you got to Little Rock then.
Yeah, he did. I guess when I go back and think about it, I guess he must have, he didn't live very long. How old was he, you know? He was older than my mother.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Looking back, I guess he might have... I guess he could have been a man. Looking back on it now, I guess perhaps he might have been a man in his... Well, people considered you old, I suppose. Yeah, I guess he might have been a man in his 50s, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... Mm-hmm. But he was older than Mama.
Mm-hmm.
And then we stayed... Then my mother's sister came over. After Papa died, Jesse, to be with Mama till the baby was born.
Mm-hmm.
And of course she tried to get Mama to stay because Papa had started buying this house, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And
how did he die, you know?
I think he must have had, he wasn't sick a long time, as I recall. At least he wasn't in bed and he wasn't off from work.
Mm-hmm.
evidently he must have had some kind of a respiratory, and he might have died of a heart attack. I don't know. I can't recall. But anyway, he wasn't sick lingering for a long time.
Yeah.
And
so anyway, Aunt Jessie came. she came from
Benoit.
Mm-hmm.
To be with Mama.
Mm-hmm.
But she tried to get Mama to stay
in Little Rock. Yeah.
But Mama wouldn't stay. But after the baby was born, she nothing for her to, do but to come back to Benoit.
I wonder what she did there.
Which I never did. I never did like. She always used to say. I used to say, "When are we leaving this place?"
Mm-hmm.
My father. You see, I started to school. I went to a Catholic school because the school that they had. We were on the outskirts of town, you see.
Uh-huh.
And they had a school out there, but Papa thought it wasn't good enough. They didn't for me. So the people who lived across they weren't called highways, and they were called pikes, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was a gravel. Gravel, like a gravel highway all the way into the town.
Uh-huh. Just a road, though. Just a gravel road.
Just a road, yeah. Just gravel, but it was a main thoroughway. Just like
yeah,
the Edens or whatever here. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. what it was equivalent to then.
Uh-huh.
It went on the pike, you know. Well, that meant that was the main road. It went from here to yonder. You see.
Uh-huh.
And
wide enough for two wagons.
Oh yes. Uh-huh. And without you'd have to get out and.
Uh-huh.
And hold them. Sometimes you have to get out, you see.
And hold them horses.
Uh-huh.
Honey, go back to the front because I'm doing something.
So I went to school there. With the Harrises. The Harris girl. They had a grocery store and they lived across the street. And she went into to Little Rock to school.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with her.
Mm-hmm.
And
black girl?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She stayed all the week at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And they came and got us on Friday night, Friday mm-hmm. afternoon. And that was my first encounter with the Catholic, with sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen them before, naturally, you know,
mm-hmm.
with these
mm-hmm.
sisters, with these long, with this,
that they
wore. And then, of course, after my father died, then we came back. We had to leave there. And I didn't go to school. And naturally, they didn't have, only in Mississippi, you only had school 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
That was when you weren't in the field, you see, because you had to chop and pick, you see. Mm-hmm. When it was too bad to do that, they had school,
mm-hmm.
and that's how, well, that was in the winter time, you know, when the children went to school. But all the summer when they were chopping and picking cotton in the fall, there was no school.
Mm-hmm.
Not for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't have school. They didn't have schoolhouses anyway. They had a school in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it had just been in the, well,
have we seen the black purse?
In the 60s. If they got, mm-hmm. they built a school in Benoit.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a white school right on that same street where my father and my grandfather's house was. They had
to
move that house. They bought that house and that ground to build that white school.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to move that house from there to where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
to build that white school. But naturally, you know, no black children went to that school.
Mm-hmm, certainly not.
So anyway, notwithstanding, it was right there in the middle of all the blacks, you know.
Mm-hmm. And
so then I went to my great-grandmother, who was a slave at that time, was, who had been a slave, mm-hmm. was in Memphis with my with her daughter, who was my great-aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And so when, and so that's how I got to Memphis. My mother, they were crazy about that grandmother, and she was blind, and they... She smoked a pipe, these clay pipes.
Mm-hmm.
You're
being sent to Memphis to live with your mother's grandmother.
With her great aunt, you know.
Yeah.
Mother, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I got to go to school.
Uh-huh.
And I was nine then.
And she smoked a pipe, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
And she would tell me these, talk about the...
Huh?
Oh, that's it.
I guess you are going to Memphis now.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say something about my father, but that's all right.
Well, go ahead. I mean, anything you think of.
But I mean, but back to my father. You know, I always say if my father had lived, I really would have had some education. Because,
mm-hmm.
and I loved him, and I can remember. We lived in Little Rock, and out there are pine trees. Have you ever been where pine trees grow,
mm-hmm.
and where all the needles on the ground?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you can just smell the pine, you know, it's not like swampy, like you go bog down and mud or wet leaves or anything. See, it's dry and they're pine needles.
Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
as kids, we used to take these pine needles and pull them together and make beds, you know,
mm-hmm.
and play. Well, anyhow, I can remember my father with Sammy on one side, when on one hand, and I have one other, and just going through from one neighbor to the other, going through the woods there, and he could sing, and we'd be skipping, you know, and mm-hmm. he'd have us by the hand, and I loved my father, and I always said, the two men in my life that were kind to me and I loved, they died, you know.
Hmm.
That was my father and my father-in-law,
mm-hmm.
my Aunt Vivian's
father.
Mm-hmm. Now he knew his son, you know, but and he knew what he was and he understood what he was and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But he was always good to me and kind to me. Mm-hmm. And I loved him. But I just want to say that I can always remember my father singing and reading the scripture to. I shall never forget how he read the scripture, and I can remember as a child. And he always had prayer. And the devil is, and Papa would be kneeling down by the bed, and he'd be praying. He would pray these long prayers. And I can, you're supposed to have your eyes closed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I can open my eyes, and Sam would be open. We'd be looking at him, wishing that he would soon get finished.
Do you want to get over with?
Yeah, and especially at the breakfast here, we weren't finished so we can eat.
Mm-hmm.
But Papa would be saying these prayers, and then he would, and of course that would be the. That'll be just, but the devotion when he would be saying these prayers and me wishing he would get finished, and he would always read the scripture. And he always, I can, now that I know what he's reading in Deuteronomy and in Proverbs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my son, you know, and children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he would read that to us. And I shall never, I'll always remember that as long as I live. I have that pleasant memory of it. But then after I came to Memphis, and my great-grandmother, then she was blind.
Glaucoma, or do you know?
Well, died, well, who knows then?
You know, yeah, I just thought maybe.
We know, nobody knows, because they weren't, they certainly, you had no doctors then, one doctor for about the whole plantation, you know, mm-hmm. and you didn't see the
you
doctor.
Didn't see her.
Mm-hmm. No, you didn't see them, so how would you know what you had? You know, you're just supposed to be blind of old age, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, she was going blind. Now, she wasn't blind when I was born.
Uh-huh.
But now I understand she was going blind, and she wanted to, I was her second great-grandchild, because my mother's oldest sister, little George, was her first one.
What was her name?
His name was George. His name for his father,
uh-huh.
George, little George. They called him Little George, but he was George Jr., you see.
Uh-huh.
And, but Mama said they were walking down the road, and Grandma wanted to carry me. And baby, Mama said, oh, Grandma said, you can't carry her because you might drop her. Oh, no, she said, I won't drop her. And so she said, all right, they let her carry me. And she was going along. And you see, you lose your field vision, you know, before your central vision mm-hmm. is glaucoma, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Grandma was going down the road. And said, all it was one of them clods, and Grandma stumbled, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so she went down, and that baby and Mama were grabbing me, you know.
Uh-huh.
Said, Grandma said, she said, she held me up. She said, I didn't let her hit the ground. I didn't let her hit the ground. They always teased about
that. I knew they did.
I didn't let her hit the ground. So, mm-hmm. But she would always, and when Mama came, she smoked that pipe and had that tobacco and that, push it down, and then she, and them cane stems.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen those cane stems?
I don't think I have.
No, well, you can go out and you used to go out, and I don't know if you can't go out in the woods and get them now, but somehow you push holes in them and they dry. You make, and then you can use them for, I guess they use them for whistles and whatever thing.
Mm-hmm. But straws, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were so close to the, right to the, you know, right to the woods then, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't get a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and then of course they sold them in the stores also.
Mm-hmm.
But Mama, she let some sparks fall on her apron. There were more aprons in those days. And Mama was, she said that she wanted me to come and watch your Grandma so she won't catch fire.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she didn't. But anyway, it was a blessing in disguise that I got to come to Memphis to go to school, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But she used to tell, and she would sit there. Now I can understand being blind myself. You sit and you reminisce a lot. You know,
mm-hmm.
you think of things, and you see, she was born. See, we didn't get freedom until 1864. You see,
mm-hmm.
so therefore, my mother was born in 1882. And mm-hmm. she wasn't too far from slavery herself.
Yeah, just barely out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would, so Grandma had, but Grandma would always say that they had a kind master because he didn't separate she and her husband.
Oh, yeah.
And see, what they used to do, they would separate them and send you one place and your children one place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you would never see them again.
Mm-hmm.
But she said that he didn't separate them. His name was Alfred. So she was able, they were able to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always grateful. And they had those even as I was, honey, as late as, I am sure, as late as, well, it had to be in the 50s, they still had those houses, what they call the quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just the slave quarters, you mm-hmm. see, Dan Benoit, where them log cabins were together,
mm-hmm.
with no, by that time they had put boards in there for floors, you
yeah,
see.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they
just
had
the ground.
Just the ground, just the dirt. And they, Grandma used to tell me how they'd have sage, whatever sage bush is, I don't know what sage bush is, it grew, and they would take it, and somehow they would put it together when it dried, and that's what you used to sweep the cabin with, you know, mm-hmm. sweep, that was your broom.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, their master treated them very well, but there were some down there that they brought the food from up to the big house, and they had troughs in there, just like you have troughs for the
pigs.
And they just poured all the stuff in the trough. And that's how they ate.
Hmm.
They'd gather around and eat. She said, but they didn't, they weren't, their dads didn't do them that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they could always, she was always glad for that. And they didn't get many beatings, she said. But some of them would beat them so.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then they were glad. She was always, they were always, it seemed they were all, naturally they were glad when they were freed, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't make too much difference because they didn't give them anything, you see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just out there.
Uh-huh. And they still had to be dependent on them, you see,
mm-hmm.
because they had nothing. And if what they were supposed to, what they were promised, were 40 acres and a mule, you see.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were promised. But they, some few of them got it. Like some, now, I only know, Mama and them probably know others, but I only knew one, and they told me that was the Sykeses. They had 40 acres.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had some land, I don't know who it was, 40
yeah, acres. Something.
But they would say that they were one of the ones who had it, some of their relatives had. Their parents had had it, was handed down to them, see.
Mm-hmm.
And but my grandfather, the one who gave them, he bought his.
Mm-hmm. Are we talking about your grandfather or your great-grandfather now?
My grandfather. My great-grandfather, I didn't know him, he
uh-huh.
died.
Uh-huh.
My grandfather. My great-grandfather, they didn't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mama and grandma and her husband got nothing. Mm-hmm. Didn't give them anything. But she had three, let me see, my mother, my mother's mother, which was named Cynthia,
mm-hmm.
and then she had a son was named Simeon, and I got the names in it, but Cynthia was my mother's mother.
What was her name? What was
my mother's name?
Your great-grandmother's
name. Her name was Kate.
Kate, that's right. I remember mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. Kate, and his name was Alfred.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the Hendersons, they gave them the name Henderson because the Hendersons were there who had them, you see.
Mm-hmm. Those are slave holders'
uh-huh.
names.
Uh-huh. And,
I don't know if she ever knew her African name. Because no, she'd be too recent, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
So she'd be too. She probably never had an African name.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So. But she was a. But my mother's mother. Died. When my mother was born, because she died from what they thought she died from the because they she died of childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
And she
So Mama never did know her. She never mentioned she never knew her mother. And her father, my grandfather, never married again. He raised them, those three girls, with the help of my great-grandmother. That's when they loved her, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that means your mother had two sisters then?
Uh-huh, they had two sisters, Jessie and Maddie.
Jessie and Maddie. Do you remember how they, which one was, I guess your mother was naturally the
baby,
youngest.
And Maddie was the oldest one, and Jessie was the next one.
Mm-hmm.
See, now my children know them, you know. Your mama knows them.
Uh-huh.
And Maddie.
Which one of those do you call Aunt Babe?
She's the one that's dead, Maddie.
Uh-huh, it's Aunt Maddie that you called Aunt Babe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why did you call her Aunt Babe? Because your mother was the baby.
But I don't know why they called her baby. She was calling her, they were calling her baby when we came along.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Aunt Babe.
And you know, her grandchildren live here.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. She has a grandson here.
I guess all of those would have been Henderson's too, right? Or no, they wouldn't.
No,
be.
She's no. A king.
A king?
Mm-hmm. She married a George King. So that's what this boy is. He's a...
Yeah, your grandmother was a king. Because she married George King. And had...
No. My grandmother was a Robinson. She married Oscar Robinson. My grandmother, Aunt Babe, was a king.
Aunt Babe was a king. Mm-hmm. But she was originally a Robinson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she was originally a Robinson. Okay. Yeah, the Robinson's girls were Jesse, Alberta, and Maddie.
Uh-huh.
And Maddie in that order. Maddie,
Jesse,
and
Alberta.
Uh-huh. In that order.
Uh-huh.
And then after they were... up to my grandfather married again. And then he had another daughter. By that.
This is Mr. Robinson.
Robinson, Oscar Robinson.
Uh-huh.
You know, Larry, they must have come from the Western. They tell me there's a fellow who studies anthropology,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote this book in Marvin Mead. You know who Marvin Mead is?
Mm-hmm.
The guy who wrote the you know who the guy who wrote this book that I had there and I couldn't stand because he wrote such.
Oh, yeah. James Baldwin.
Baldwin. Mm-hmm.
They wrote a book together.
Uh-huh. But anyway, according to that, according to the features of my grandfather and his brothers, they must have come from one part of Africa that had, now these men were tall men, and they had these high, kind of cheekbones, you know,
uh-huh.
and thin lips, and a bridge, but they were black.
Uh-huh.
See, they were black men.
Sound like Watusis.
No, they weren't Watusis. I don't think. I mean, from what I hear about them, I don't know. But anyway, uh-huh. they were tall and thin lipped, and they were all black.
Uh-huh.
And my uncle. I wish I had the picture to show you of his brother, my grandfather's brother.
Uh-huh.
But I gave it to, since I couldn't see him, well, I gave it to Willie, because it was Willie's, like my cousin Roxy.
Uh-huh.
See, my cousin Roxy, Roxy's the oldest person on our side in my family, you see.
Uh-huh.
And Roxy and Mama were first cousins. They were brothers and sisters' children. Huh?
Was Aunt Carrie, did she have the same mother, grandmother and...
Mm-mm. No. Aunt Babe and Aunt Jessie and Mama were the three whole sisters. five poles first by Cynthia.
And where did Karen come
in? And then after he got that, they were up, then he married again, and he married this, that lady was named Carrie, and you see, little Carrie's name for her.
Then she was that her daughter?
Uh-huh. My grandfather's daughter. My mother's dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And her mother died also. And my grandfather married again. He was married kind.
I guess.
He married Miss Kate. he was married three times. But he didn't marry anybody. He never have a stepmother over his children, over his girl.
Uh-huh.
Never did. He waited till they were up and out before he married.
I see. He raised them, mm-hmm. and then he married.
Mm-hmm.
And had
little Carrie.
Little Carrie.
Mm-hmm. Then he married then he married Miss Kate, for to have companionship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and then she died. And then you see, Paul would have married again after she died, if it hadn't been for Mama and them, you see. But I think they should have let him go in and marry.
Well, they didn't approve of him marrying again?
No. Well, he needed some companionship and
sure.
Don't you think?
Well, certainly.
Why?
Except that maybe by then they got to thinking that the daddy was bad luck for women.
But the woman took the chance, so that's what did they have to bother about. All I think they thought about was that house.
Uh-huh.
And they thought that, and this woman that he was going to marry
was going to get that house,
had some children.
Hmm.
And they thought that, I think that's the only thing that Mama and baby even thought about, you know.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So then they would be at home with their husbands, and he would be there in the night, sick, but he had to marry. Somebody could have been there.
See after him.
Give him a drink of water, see how
mm-hmm.
he feels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the old soul went on. And then now they left. Now that place of who's scrambling and fighting over. I remember. My sister. The mama died. She did nothing about it, you know.
Uh-huh.
and she and Aunt Baby, Mama and Aunt Baby, they fussed over it and fell out about it. And nobody had the will. And she said Aunt Baby had the deeds, all of that. And after she died, and my sister. She didn't do anything about it. And I told her, I said, let me know if you have the, I just want to know if my name is on the deed, and if I will send you the money to pay taxes. I should send Mama money to pay the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But she never would. She never would tell me. So I just said, forget it. So
mm-hmm.
Bernice and Marie said, Mother, don't worry about it. So you can't worry about something. You can't miss something you never had.
Yeah, that's true.
So I didn't.
How much land did you have with that house?
Well, he didn't have that much. Now, about a half acre then.
Mm-hmm.
It had been going on. It cut down and cut down. So and so, the same thing about Roxy. Roxy said, she, of course, hers in Mount Vine. And so she must have that 25-30 acres.
Uh-huh.
So she sold hers, except she left her brother. But Larry, how do you...
Honey, don't even worry about it. That's just the way you sound. Yeah, don't worry about it. So anyway, Aunt Roxy now, where does she fit into all of this? Whose baby is she?
Oh, well, she and my mother are brothers and sisters' children, that's all. She's a lot of things.
I see. Either
Arthur Robinson
had a brother or a sister or something.
His sister Charlotte. Mary Jane. Was Roxy's mother.
I see. I see. Okay.
And you know, Mound Dio is a, because that town is going to, that lease, they understand that lease is going to run out in, I think about 1990. They've got a, they had 100 years. Some person bought that land, that whole town, the way it was supposed to be, could no whites go in there and buy or own that. It had to be for Negroes only.
How did that come to pass? What?
If some white, I don't know. I got to, someday when I find this, I have to find it and show it and let you read it. But of course, what they did now, what they have done, they have stranded them there. All right enough. They at first they wouldn't even put the electricity over there. They put on the they put the poles on one side of the road, and they wouldn't even string the wires on across the road to bound by. They build a hospital there, nice hospital. My friend Rebecca. Her uncle was a contractor, and they went down and built that hospital down there. That had been in the '60s or something. You know, to give the people some medical
facility.
Because otherwise they'd have to go all the way to Cleveland. That's the nearest town, and naturally there was all white doctors there. And do you know that hospital is closed almost? They wouldn't, and a lot of things they cut them off from, because, well, after all, you can, who owns all the facilities, you know, the telephone and the electricity? So Charlie does. See, so but anyway, they said that now what they're trying to do is to go down and buy up this land. I mean, I'm since you don't listen to the radio, you haven't listened to. They had a whole meeting out here at St. Mark last month, trying to inform the people. And then there are several people down the church who still belong, Mabel Nash and all them. They still own land in Georgia and in Alabama. And see, a lot of people going back down there.
And
that land, they have told, they said how many million acres that have been bought that we have lost. We can't even buy. We can't afford to buy it anymore. See, the whites have bought it up.
See, we can't. Just choice land.
Yes, and we can't get it. And we sold it for little or nothing. Now you take that land that Rocks ahead. She might have sold it for $1,000 acre or something. You know. Now, but she did. I said, who did you sell it? You said she did sell it to. She did sell it to a black. You know. All right, right here, Joanne Cole, sister-in-law, she's married her sister-in-law right now because she's over there. Now she has 190 acres of land that she will not sell, and her children are trying to blackjack her into selling it, and she won't sell it. And Joanne says she don't see why she doesn't sell it, and because the children don't want to live there. And I said, Joanne, I said, 190.
Folks is fools sometimes. Just sell it. We don't want it.
No.
Land down there. We ain't gonna do nothing.
And they're gonna sell it to the white folks. You see?
For little or nothing.
Yeah. And they might give them a good price for it, but that's beside the point.
It'll still be little or nothing compared to what it'd probably be worth.
Well, of course. But the thing is, owning some land. Owning some land. But what do they do? Then they sell that land and move into a city, like Chicago and New York and all these, Detroit and all these places.
And spend the money on a car.
And it's nothing here for them. You see? So anyway, that's what the Mound Dio has come to. Now, so this is Roxy only had. Now her sister-in-law is here. Now that land that's down there, she has a daughter here who's on over here on the west side, Julia, she has about 9 children. All of her children are some kind of profession, doctors, mm-hmm. lawyers, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't even look at Mount Zion. And their mother can sell their grandma can sell their land tomorrow for 15 cents for all they care,
mm-hmm.
you see. And so I asked Rocky last week, I said, when is Ida, when is Ida going back? She said, well, she just got out of the hospital and she doesn't know. But Julia said that she just assumed for her to sell it because she's not going down there, none of her children are not going down there. But it seems a shame.
Yeah, it does. It does.
This is a shame. And she has a nice, the house is nice because it always it has gas and everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
water and everything, all everything that Mount Bai can give them now. Of course, there's nothing there, no kind of work, because they're naturally. But as soon as this lease runs out,
well, now you're going to see some stuff.
Watch them move in there. See these whites going to bring stuff in there. Just watch them. So, because it's near highway, and
mm-hmm.
they're just going to do it. They're going to do it. So I would just, it's too bad that she just don't sit right there. And Julia wouldn't have sense enough to pay the taxes and rent it to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And keep it up, because before her brother died, and she had helped him renovate it and everything, because it's a nice bathroom and everything. She mm-hmm. said, it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
Yes, that's another story, I guess.
Oh, yes, indeed.
That's another story.
Another story, honey. It's too bad, too. Like these children here. George King. Well, they own this house out here where they are, or buying it where they are out here,
mm-hmm.
on the west side, wherever it is. It's not too far. I don't think it's too far from here. But they'd rather stay here.
Well, there's work here anyway. At least there used to be. There used to be some work here.
Yes, but I suppose it's just like nothing is as it used to be.
That's right.
You go down there, and you just look for miles and miles, and you see these rows and rows and acres of cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And people go in the field with these cotton sacks, you know,
mm-hmm.
and cotton houses and gins. There are no more.
That's right. Gone with the dinosaur.
Cotton pickers took over, you know. Cotton choppers.
Mm-hmm.
I asked someone if there was still a... Why, especially was there gin in Benoit anymore? She said she thought, yes, it was a gin. There wasn't one down on Gibson, not on the plantation anymore. You know,
mm-hmm. Gibson, was that the name of the plantation?
Yeah.
Gibson Plantation.
Mm-hmm. It's a corporation, they call it the Gibson. It's a corporation. Down on Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Plantation. Sharecropper, you know, you work for them. I wonder how you get share that. What did you share, I wonder?
I think the system was that you were supposed to share in the profits at the end of the year.
I'm laughing because it's so ironic, because you didn't.
Yeah, absolutely not.
See,
mm-hmm.
you worked all the year. And they had a book, you know, that you kept mm-hmm. the account, you know, you go there and you, that's one of the things that my father, see, they got you if you're going or coming. That's what, if you had enough to run your own self and didn't have to go there and take up stuff,
uh-huh. you see,
get stuff on credit.
Mm-hmm.
See, that wasn't going to stop them from you owing something at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to put something there anyway. Of course, you had... Well, see, Papa was... We had a cow. I shall never just. Old Mary. That was her name, honey.
Old Mary.
We had a cow, and we had hogs, and the and that house was near a lake. And then you had geese, because geese have to have water, you know. And we had chickens and hogs and geese and guineas. Everybody had guineas, because guineas were like, have you ever seen a guinea?
I don't think I have.
But guineas are kind of speckled, kind of gray speckled.
Yes, I have. They're like little chickens. They're not as big as a chicken, are they?
Oh, they're bigger. I haven't seen them. And got a little top notch and something like a little rooster. But everybody used to have a guinea, because guineas are next to dogs. They're good watchdogs. I mean, and everybody had hen houses. And minks were... bad about at night coming in your hen house.
Wild mink.
Uh-huh.
Coming in, killing chickens.
Stealing your chicken. And so whenever you'd hear a guinea, you knew it was a mink or something. Something was out there. It was one that wasn't supposed to be there. And naturally everyone in those days hunted. And they kept shotguns and just sitting in the corner. You know, just that's just one of the, that was a part of the
house.
The house. A shotgun or Winchester, because everybody hunted. Or what you did, you just grab the shotgun and go out to see what was going on with your lantern. That's what we had. Cows, we had milk and butter. And eggs, and that kind of food was not. I mean, we were used to that kind of food. You know, my father was that, and he had, and then you took you shell the corn and you took it to the mill, and you ground it. And sorghum grew, and they you raised sorghum and sugar cane, and then the men knew how to cook. Syrup, you know.
You boil it down.
They knew how to do that. But see, that made papa. And then they kill the hogs, and everybody, and maybe every other person, every three or four families had a smokehouse. But they came together, you know. So and so, well, they said, Walter got a smokehouse. Well, what they did, they get certain wood. You see, oak would make the best wood to smoke meat. And so by the time they killed hogs and salted it down, and then whatever your other process you had to go through with before you hung it up in the top, you see, to smoke, you see. Then they build the fire, and I don't know how long they took it to smoke. They smoked it, you see. Then you smoked hams. And see, but Papa, that's what he did. We had milk and butter and eggs. That's a pretty good diet, you know?
Sure is.
And raise a garden.
That's everything you need right there.
Yeah. And, but see, he wouldn't owe so much. I mean, he wouldn't owe anything. Then he raised, the cotton that he grew, how many ever bales he made, but you're supposed to be, you got so many bales. So much of the seed money. Mr. Charlie got so much. But you paid for everything out of your part, you see. Nothing came out of Mr. Charlie's part. Well, I guess, Papa, I don't... Evidently, they took too much out of what he was supposed to... You see, and you couldn't... Whatever they said you owed, see, you didn't question that. That was on the book, you see. You didn't get no receipt from when you went there for what you spent, what you bought. If you went there, they wanted... a bucket of lard, but people, Mama used to make lard. You see, when they killed the hog, they rented that fat, and they would have lard, be just as nice and white as that you bought out the store. You see, but if you had to, didn't do it. There are a lot of people who didn't do it. You see, but whatever you had, if you could go and get rice or whatever,
I don't care what you bought in the store. They wrote it on the book. But you didn't get no receipt for what you got.
Mm-hmm.
See, that just wasn't the way to do. And you don't know what they wrote on the book.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the year, when everybody went up to my, it's settling day, and 4 and 5 would go up to somebody's settling day.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd go and see what what they had, but Mr. Charlie had, how he had added up the book, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what you had, what your balance due was, or what you cleared.
Mm-hmm.
And if people cleared $100 or $200, you were rich, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After having, I don't know how many of your family worked all the year, you know. See, my father couldn't stand it. He couldn't take it. And you think of working all the year. Now think, now the people cooked $10 a month is what you got for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
That's $120 a year. A year. You hear? $10. I went out, I worked with $3 for a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much that was, Tommy? $3 a week. That was vehicles, a lot of them were getting $2.50.
Mm-hmm. Because it bought a lot more back then, too.
Yeah, it was still, honey, compared to what they were getting. They were getting more than you were. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You see, doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
See. Doing the same thing. You know, went to the taxes and all, because you could take a quarter, and that's what they figured on, but you lived, they didn't figure on you saving nothing, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And having nothing to, but just to get by on, you could take a quarter and buy a nickel's worth of neck bones and a nickel's worth of meal, you know. You can even buy a nickel versus lard, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. But those are the way that things were. And what is one of us who that somebody was talking on WXOL the other night. He said, you know, we haven't gotten too far from that now.
That's about the truth.
See, we haven't gotten too far from that now. He said, when you examine it and take it as a whole, I don't know whether it was Thomas Todd or who one was saying that. He said, we haven't gotten too far from that now. He went on going back. He said, you know, sir, he said, I think it was him. He said, but see, have you ever heard of him, have you? Thomas
mm-hmm.
Todd, he's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be very,
you mentioned it to me.
Yeah,
once,
well, he's supposed to be very good. And he said, coming from North Carolina, he said, North Carolina is a, and them Carolina, they are some, because there are some farmers down there right now, just they're in the throes of trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Because these white folks want to take that land from them.
Mm-hmm.
You see, then they really are struggling, trying to get federal money.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to go equally to farmers. They didn't say what color the farmers. They're supposed to be farmers.
Mm-hmm.
But they're struggling. But anyway, Thomas Todd was saying, he said, yes, he said, you know, see a lot of you all here talking to a bunch of young people. Where were they? He said something. He said, you know, you don't know about it. And said, and some of your folks don't even want to hear about it. He said, but you need to know where you came from, and if you don't know where you came from, so you don't, it's a good thing. You need to know where you came from to know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't, you'll find yourself back where you were.
That's the truth.
And so he said, and don't be ashamed to say where you came from. He said, because that doesn't matter. It all depends on what you are now.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing now? Mm-hmm. As Reverend Johnson said, Reverend Johnson is 83, and his mother died and left he and his sister, and his Aunt B raised. Reverend Johnson got all kinds of degrees, and he said, I guess you're, he was talking about, he said, and we had a hard time. He said, you know, we had chicken feet stew. Hmm. He said, and we had the chicken feet, and he said, I worked at this market, and he said, and you know, in those days, they just cut the chicken feet off and threw them away. And they did, I can remember that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I worked there, and he said, the butcher gave them to me. And I brought them, and Aunt B would pour that hot water on them and clean them. There's a lot of school teachers and all kind of uppity niggas belong to St. John's. Trying to forget where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't want to hear about it. So you get tired of saying about Andy, don't you? You don't want to. He said, well, I'm going
to. I'm going to tell you anyway.
I said, say on, brother.
Say on.
Yes, indeed. So, well, that's all. I don't you think I ramble enough now? Well, unless you want me to ramble. If you want something specific, because I've been just rambling.
That's good. Okay, let's
I
see.
I forgot about that. I forgot. I read it for a minute.
But that's good. That's pretty much what I want you to do. I take it. Now, this, when you were talking about settling day, all of this must have been before you moved to Little Rock.
What?
When you were talking about your father and the
house.
Oh, yeah. All that was before Little Rock. Because
he died in Little Rock. Uh-huh. Yeah, he didn't go back to that stuff.
And so you went to Memphis at the age of 9
mm-hmm.
to live with your great-grandmother.
Yeah, my great-grandmother was living with her daughter. I was living with Irene Moore.
And that was your great aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh. Uh-huh. And how long did you stay there?
Until I married, honey.
Is that right?
Yep.
Where did I get the idea you went back and forth from Memphis to Benoit?
I did. I used to go back in the summertime, you know.
To Benoit. When school was
at Christmas time, I'd go back down there, you know,
to see
my mother, and my sisters and brothers, you know.
Well, how did it happen that you got to be sent to Memphis and not Sammy and...
I was the oldest girl, you know.
Uh-huh. But you had a sister.
She was younger. You see, she was young. Uh-huh. My sister was young. She was younger than...
She was younger than Sammy.
Uh-huh.
But still, I mean...
But I was the oldest girl, so I was... And I guess maybe...
Did you ask to go up there?
Perhaps I bugged Mama, so because we had... Mama used to always say I didn't want to stay after I came from...
From Little Rock. I see. You wanted to go to school.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to go to school.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I remember from some of the... from some of the other talks that we've had, you were talking about books that you had, you were trying to read, and somebody was getting rid of these books.
Yeah, my auntie did them in those days.
Is that in Memphis now?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And she did, in those days, women didn't work out because it just wasn't a thing for women to go outside of the house and work out as they do now, you know.
Uh-huh.
Men were supposed to take care of women, you see. Uh-huh. And that's what men were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... Not like this age now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Men don't take care of women now. But this is a different generation altogether. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
but all things shall pass. So. But anyway, go ahead.
But anyway, women stayed at home, and they didn't go out to work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did any work at all, you took in laundry. You washed. Mm-hmm. You washed these. You know. Watching Auntie's wife over.
Uh-huh. What was the name again? Irene?
Irene.
Yeah, okay. Irene
Moore. And everybody calls her Irina.
Uh-huh.
And so, she,
when she, see, that was her, that was, see, grandma was her mother,
uh-huh.
you see, and my mother's grandmother, you see.
Yes, yes.
And my great-grandmother.
Yes.
So therefore, my grandma was staying with her daughter.
Uh-huh.
When, mm-hmm. when I went to Memphis.
You say grandma, but you mean, but she is, in fact, your great-grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
it's like your,
yeah, I know, I know. I'm just trying to get this down for the record, because when I come back to this stuff, I got to be able to figure out who these people are.
Yeah, that's my great, she's my, Kate Henderson is my great-grandma.
Yeah, yeah, I got it straight.
And then Cynthia Robinson is my grandmother.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And Oscar Robinson is my grandfather, which is her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Alfred Henderson is my great-grandfather, who is Kate Henderson's husband, which mm-hmm. is my great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
See.
Before I leave this thought, how long did your great-grandmother live while you were there?
Let me see. No. 10, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I guess she must live about 4 years.
After you came to Memphis?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What does she look like? What kind of, you know?
She was a black woman. And when I say black, I'm not talking about what you all talking about. You know?
You're talking about a black woman?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, you
uh-huh.
know. And she had long hair. It was come down about here.
To her shoulders.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't.
Did she straighten it?
No, uh-uh. It was almost white. I used to always comb it, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'd get her to comb it. And she always kept it tied up, kept a head rag on. There used to be old song about head rag mama. I don't know if you ever heard of that. But she kept something on it, kept mm-hmm. it tied up. I guess to keep it from getting, I don't know why she did, but she always did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to comb it for her. I'm not for her, because she could comb it herself, but I would always like to...
Yeah, just like to comb it.
Mm-hmm. I used to like to comb it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would comb it, and I would plait it, and I can remember I would plait it in three plaits, you know, two mm-hmm. on the side and one up in the top, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like schoolgirls wearing today sometimes. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Yes. And she would... And we would talk. She would... And I can recall now how it always used to make me so sad to hear about these things that she would tell me about. You know, like eating out there, like eating like a slop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember now how sad it used to make me to hear that. But Annie, her daughter, was crazy about her mama. She was good to her. She couldn't, that was when toilets were in the backyard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have them. Not even on the porch at
mm-hmm.
that time.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna had a chair that she had cut the top out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Top. And then she pushed a slop jar under there. Yeah, that's what Mama used. That's mm-hmm. what Grandma used. And I could always empty it. And she knew how to get it right beside her bed. And I recall the day before she died. It was a nice day, and Annie was washing some quilts, washing a quilt because it had gotten ragged.
Mm-hmm.
And Grandma said, "Rena, what are you doing? Because what you got in this soap?" She said, "I got the quilt and soap there, Mom." And she said, "I'm washing." She said, "Well, let me wash. She said, "Oh, Mama, you know you can't wash." She said, "Oh," she said, "oh, yes, I can." And she said, "If it's ragged, what you washing it for?" She said, "Well, I'm washing it so I can let it dry so I can use it for pan. Because if you get sick, I want to have something to put on you so it won't get to the mattress." So Grandma said, "You don't have to worry about me. I've been all the trouble to you I'm going to be." She said, the Lord is going to take me on, and he's not going to let me stay here and do it. Be any more bothered to anybody. She had a cane. And so they all laughed, and Miss Fleming lived next door, so she was laughing. And she was saying, oh, she said, oh, Miss Henderson, she said, you're gonna be here a long time.
And she'd already been there a long time. How old was she about then?
I guess she must have been about, she was close to 90. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she got up and went on back in her room, went on back in the room. She and I slept in the same room because we had these big beds. And I don't guess you remember big beds with the tall foot and the head.
Mm-hmm.
I remember. You don't remember? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But she had one of those, and I had a smaller bed in the same room. And that morning before day, she waked up and was making a sound, and I got up. Now, Anna was in the next room, and I called her. And she ran in there, and she said, but told me, said her chest was hurting, his mama. So Anna popped up in the bed, put on her clothes. Uncle came in there. And Dr. Connor lived a block up, it was just a block on Polk Street. She put on her clothes and ran up there and went next door to Miss Fleming. And then Miss Beth from across the street. It was early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was right just about 5. And they came, and by the time Dr. Conley got his clothes on and got down there, he just walked down the street. You know.
Mm-hmm.
She was dead. Lord have mercy. When they walked in, Annie walked in that house, and so they had laid her mama. Took that pillow out from under her head. And I think of her, she just ran out of the house. She was so hurt. When we went back, he took her back to Benoit. Oh, and the train, naturally everybody in Benoit, you know, knew Aunt Kate.
Mm-hmm.
Aunt Kitty. Yeah, they bring Aunt Kitty home. And they put a lot of people at the station. And when they took her off, the wagon was there to put the body in, take her on down to the church. And then Aunt Baby, I guess all the rest of them were walking behind the wagon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hearses in Africa. And I was hurt, but I mean, at that age,
you don't know about then.
Yeah, and so, but anyway, they were all crying, just crying. And I remember they were all crying, and I felt left out. Mm-hmm. So I just started screaming to the top of my voice. And it wasn't because I was hurt either.
Just showing up.
Well, they were crying. I thought that's what you're supposed to do. Lord have mercy. Yes, indeed. That's been a long time ago, honey. But after
you must have been, 12, 13 about
mm-hmm,
then.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you, at that age, in that time, you weren't as sophisticated as 12 years old. Now,
yeah, I know.
Who was that, Miss Mary used to say? At that age, say, I didn't know my mama from my papa, only one wore a dress and one more pants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is the truth. You know, you just didn't.
Mm-hmm. These days, they're on the verge of becoming one, you know.
Take that little child in there. Both of them, Maya and Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
They know as much now as I knew then, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
I declare.
Mm-hmm. Kate Henderson, huh?
Kate Henderson. Yes, indeed.
Interesting.
Yes, indeed.
You know, there's a guy at work by the name of Jack Henderson. He's about my age. I wonder if he is in relation to those Hendersons.
I don't know. I really... You know, you want to...
Grandma and them came from, I don't know where they got them from, but my father came from Aberdeen, Mississippi.
Aberdeen.
And it's a, and it's an unusual name. You know, you don't hear Menace as much, do you?
Mm-hmm. No, I think your family, your side of the family, might be the only Menaces I've ever heard of.
And some of them spell it M-I-N-N-I-C-E.
Mm-hmm.
But I spell it M-I-N-N-I-S.
Mm-hmm.
See, but it's a lot of, I see it's a lot of Menaces. Sammy Jr. has seen this. He has 6 boys. Doris's father.
Yeah.
And then my brother, Walter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He has some, but I don't know what they go in now. Says, perhaps, I don't know whether Walter, because since he's turned Muslim, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what he calls
himself. No.
I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his children, because he and his wife are not together. She's in Memphis. And I understand he's in Texas. He was in California.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting little episode. I guess I didn't really know Kate that well. You've told me a lot about her in the past, but.
Yeah.
I think this session might be as much her story as anybody else's, because.
Yeah. She could go out and get all kinds of roots, you know.
Oh yes, she told me that. Mm-hmm. She was the one that go out and make little medicine things out of roots and things from the woods.
Boiled tea.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the one who cured Uncle's pneumonia. With that cow manure?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. What was that little concoction she had?
Cow manure.
Boil it into a tea.
Have you ever seen cow manure?
Yeah, it comes in little pies, like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
About this big around.
Yeah.
And if you know, I've seen my brothers play with you. They pick it up and sail it, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah. I know.
And then hog's hoof tea. After you take the hoof off the pig's hoof, you dry that, and there's something in that hoof that's good. There's some kind of medication in that also.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the doctor had, when he finally did get a doctor to come, and the doctor told I and them that Uncle had pneumonia, and he said the crisis would pass in 9 days. You know.
Uh-huh.
But whatever they gave him, I don't know, and actually I wasn't even born, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever. But she said that, I guess if I was born, I don't know, but it's been all that long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Must not have been. But anyway, she said that Grandma came over there, and Grandma told him to go out there in the pasture, and... one of them, you know, a while ago, and she went out there in that pasture and got some of those
cow manure
and came back, and flour used to come in sacks.
Uh-huh.
And she got one of them flour sacks, and because that had been washed and all, and she put that cow manure, that patty in that bag, and tied it up and poured some hot water over it and made some tea, and she made some hog hoof tea. And you had to give this, whatever Dr. Martin left there, I shall never forget that name. There was only two, Dr. Martin and Dr. Williams. Dr. Williams left there because Dr. Martin, he rarely did come to the black folks. He went to the white people.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Williams, but anyway, Dr. Williams told him, and he told him how much, what this medicine, whatever,
and drink tea. And they said they sat there, they took turns sitting there giving Uncle this tea. And so, and after the ninth day, they rubbing whatever Grandma had fixed, quinine and lard and whatever,
mm-hmm.
to grease his chest, you know, and put this red flannel on, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. they knew what to do. And he came, because he was coming back this way after the ninth day. On the tenth day, he was sitting up asking for a little rice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, what kind of tea, which tea you wanted? He told him one that the tea and whatever different they had in different pots, you know. And ate it.
She didn't. Next time he got sick, he'd have died before he had any more.
Now you see, he would have, because he'd have been, I don't care what they would have given him, he would have sworn they were giving him that Commodore tea.
Uh-huh.
It might have been catnip.
Mm-hmm. He would have known and wouldn't have cared. He wasn't going to take it.
He wouldn't have taken it. He would have gone on and died.
Mm-hmm.
See what Grandma, could do all this. She could go and there were certain trees that she knew how to get the roots, and she could make tea and do things, take them weeds and dry them and the kind of ointment.
I wonder where she learned that.
In Africa, honey. That's right.
She wasn't in Africa, was she?
I mean, it
was just passed down. I mean,
yeah.
But
they brought her here. I mean, they. Evidently, must have, but it passed down from her mother and all. You see,
uh-huh. That's what I'm saying. Somebody was passing it down from generation to generation.
It's passed down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's passed down, just like I told you about. There are certain traditions that are passed down. It still goes down. I told you about like opening your pots.
Mm-mm.
Did I tell you that?
Mm-mm.
Now you know why I don't like people. You know I don't care about people opening my pots on the stove. You know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know that.
Yeah, I know.
But then that is a tradition that's passed down from way back in Africa.
Uh-huh. Do you know?
Yeah, because they said that the hand is quicker than the eye.
Uh-huh.
And see, in Africa, you know, you heard them talking about putting spider in your dumplings. You know,
mm-hmm.
You heard that expression. You know. They were just, there was, and then certain tribes and then certain people, they just believed in witchcraft was one of their things.
Yes, yes.
And they did it. They practiced it and they did. And there are some tribes, they still do it.
Uh-huh.
And they could just do the, if you were cooking, and that's one thing they said, we had a missionary to return. We used to bring a missionary home. Every year, the National Baptist Convention is to make report,
mm-hmm.
and off from the field. And as a matter of fact, I got a book in there somewhere. You'll probably find it when I die. I can't find it now because I can't see it to look for it. That Mrs. Watson wrote of the things that she encountered as a missionary over there,
mm-hmm.
and some of these very things are in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing she said that they are very particular about and very peculiar about. The foods that in, and do not bother around the pots that they when they're cooking.
Because you might be doing something.
You might be putting something in, and they can do it so quickly. They can have it in their hand. They just reach out and put it in there, and you would just.
Yep.
And she said, and you could be killed for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And but now you see nothing like that. But it is just in a kind of way it has just passed on down.
Mm-hmm.
And. Now I don't. I just can do something. Me no end for people to come in and open my pots,
mm-hmm.
in my stove. Because, you know, I say that not, and see, I don't think nothing about you're going to put nothing in that.
Yeah, yet. I know.
But it is just something that's there.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot explain it. I mean, for people I worked for, bother much about the Yankees, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He knew they were the Bronx Bombers. They were right up there, but they were in the American League. So.